From the studios of KXAM, welcome to Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, marriage and family therapist. Stay tuned and learn how you can open your mind and soul to new possibilities in life. Now here's your host, Stuart Altshuler.
Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist, and this is a show where normally we deal with mental health issues from a holistic perspective every week. It's a live show, and I take callers or usually have a guest with a very topical mental health-oriented focus to the show. But if you've been listening for the last couple of weeks, you know that I've made a commitment to the Kerry campaign, and for the last 2 weeks, and this week and next week, my guests have been people who have been involved with the Kerry campaign in hopes of helping some people who are still sitting on the fence to maybe make some decisions towards getting Kerry the 10 electoral votes from Arizona. And if I didn't feel strongly about this, I wouldn't have been taking this focus. And now some people have asked me, what does all this have to do with mental health? Well, if you go to my website, tellthetruthfaster.com, and you click on articles, after the 2000 election, I wrote this article for a newsletter for a therapist organization called Election-Related Depression, a new diagnostic code. Kind of tongue-in-cheek, but definitely very serious about how politics and current events affect the emotional, mental health, and spiritual health and well-being of individuals. And I'm always encouraging therapists to take into account the fact that the issues that they're dealing with clients are not just about childhood history and things like that, but the impact, what's going on in the world is affecting people's coping mechanisms or even mental state. You know, if you look at something like the World Series right now, there are people in Houston that right now are depressed and people in New York that right now are depressed or affected by the loss of their team. So even something like sports and playoffs, things like that, have an impact on the emotional well-being. Even the excitement that unfortunately turned violent in Boston, celebrating turned to overdoing, people being out of control. So just because something's about politics doesn't mean it's irrelevant to mental health issues. So that's one of the reasons that I've been doing these shows. If you listened 2 weeks ago, my guest was Stuart Starkey, who is a eighth grade math teacher in South Phoenix, who is running against John McCain for the U.S. Senate. Last week we had Sue Wolitski, who's the communications director for the Kerry Edwards campaign in Phoenix. And I want to publicly thank Sue because she's the one that's helped coordinate getting the guests for these 4 weeks, including herself. And today, a little bit later, I will be introducing to you Peggy Kerry. And Peggy is the older sister of John Kerry, and she's not here with us yet, but she's promised to call in at sometime between 10 after and a quarter after the hour. She's busy campaigning, but she's taken about 35, 40 minutes out to visit us on the show, answer questions, and talk about the campaign. And as soon as she's on, my engineer will let me know, and we'll be talking with Peggy Kerry today, which I feel quite humbled to be doing. Now, this is a live call-in show, and the number in the Phoenix area is 480-949-1310, 480-949-1310. If you're listening via the Internet, which I know some of you are because I get emails from you occasionally, it's the same number. It is a toll call, but certainly worth the while, and we'd love to hear from you. That's 480-949-1310. Now, before I go any further into today's topic, I also want to let all of you know that I'm dedicating today's show to one of my closest and dearest friends friend for a long time. Today is my friend Kathy Williams' birthday, and I just want to wish Kathy an extremely happy birthday and let her know that I'm thinking of her today. And if she's listening, then she knows that today's show is dedicated to her. And even if she's not listening and she's out celebrating, then she knows anyway. So happy birthday, Kathy, and I love you dearly. Now, again, getting back to campaign issues, getting back to what's going on, it's really amazing to me to think with just a couple of days more than a week away from the election that it's undecided voters that are really going to call this election one way or the other. It's amazing to me with 7, 8, 9 days left before the election that there are people who are still wavering between Bush and Kerry. So today, if you're listening and you're one of those voters, pay particular attention to what Peggy has to say. And if you have questions that you need answered to help you make those decisions, call in and ask them when she's on or call in before she gets on. Because one of the things that I am aware of is I keep reading that there are more college students that have been registered than ever before, and many more are likely to vote than in past elections, and that the polls that I'm reading seem to indicate that many of them, the majority of them are leaning towards the Democrats than towards Kerry. The gay and lesbian voters, which basically made the difference in Florida last time and in a few other states, the log cabin Republicans have not endorsed George Bush this year, and there are a lot of them very unhappy with this constitutional amendment, and so they will not be voting for Bush, many of them. I keep reading how most of the Muslims in this country have been alienated by Bush. That the Cuban community, because of the visitation issues and other issues from the Bush administration, that the Cuban community, which has usually been Republican, that there is a lot more people there either undecided or will be voting Democrat this year to make a statement.
Sir?
Yep.
This is Robert. Your special guest is on the phone.
Okay, great. So with all of that being said, it's like unfathomable to me and that the race is still so tight according to most of the polls. And so maybe we can get some answers from that. And my guest is on the line now, Peggy Kerry. I want to welcome you to the show, Peggy, and I'm so grateful that I know your schedule is extremely busy and it means a lot to me and my listeners that you're taking the time out to talk to us today. So welcome.
Thank you so much, Stuart.
And you'll need to speak a little bit more into the phone.
Is this better?
Oh, that's much better. Thank you. Where are you right now?
I am in Las Vegas.
Oh, great. Okay. So you're actually not too far from me. Anyway, I know that your time's limited with me today. I know we have you for about 35 minutes or so. So, from my research, I know that you've been involved in Democratic politics for most of your life, and you've actually been part of the inspiration, from what I've read, that got John Kerry involved with politics. I know you've been a lobbyist in the halls of state government in Albany for nonprofit groups, and you actually were a Democratic delegate to the National Convention and actually got to vote for your own brother.
That's right.
Actually,
I can tell you how I got John involved in politics. It was when he was in third grade and I was in the fifth grade, and we lived in Washington, D.C., and I was an avid Adlai Stevenson supporter, and I took him around the neighborhood selling Adlai Stevenson buttons. He says I dragged him around the neighborhood.
Well, you know, so we have the older sister to thank for being an inspiration that he's running now, and I've been committing the four shows of my airtime to hopefully getting the 10 electoral votes into the Kerry column on Election Day.
Well, I want to thank you for that. I don't think I was really so much an inspiration. I think that the people who were very inspirational in my brother's life, on the outside of the family, it was certainly John Kennedy. We did an unspeakable thing back in 1960. We used to go for a vacation to an island where there aren't any cars or stores or anything. It's very laid back. And we took a television set there so we could watch the Democratic Convention and watch John Kennedy become the Democratic nominee. And he was very, very inspirational to our generation in calling us to public service.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, really was part of the motivation for John to serve his country and go to Vietnam. But the person really who motivated us so very much, and there are four of us, is I'm the oldest, and then there's John, and then there's a sister and a younger brother. It really was our mother. She was an incredible volunteer. She was John's den leader. She was 60 years a Girl Scout leader. In fact, I just met a volunteer who'd been one of her Girl Scouts.
Oh, wow.
She volunteered in hospitals. She was a recycler before anybody heard of recycling. Back in when we lived in Washington in the 50s, she used to stack up the Washington Post in our garage and then drive them back to the Washington Post to recycle. She started a recycling program, the first that Groton, Massachusetts had ever seen, and she was John's best volunteer. She was incredible. She volunteered in every single one of his campaigns. And then the other person who inspired us was our father, who was a Foreign Service officer and taught us to really respect other cultures and other nations, which plays so much a part of John's view of foreign policy now.
Well, I believe that you also work for the U.S. mission at the United Nations. Is that correct?
That is correct. I do work for the State Department, and I just want to make it very clear that I am here on your program as a citizen and not as a State Department spokesperson. On weekends, I can, under the new rules under the Hatch Act, which were changed in 1973, I am allowed to campaign for my brother on my own time.
Great. I brought that up actually so you could get that in, because I know that it's important that boundaries are kept and that the integrity level is kept for your sake. So one of the things that I was saying, I don't know how long you were on during my introduction or not, or how much you heard, but the issues, I know you've been very involved with women's issues for a long time, and in today's Los Angeles Times, there is an article that says women may call the election. The gender gap may be more reemerging, with more female voters leaning towards Kerry poll show. Bush has the advantage with men. Why? And I've also heard that of the undecided voters, which, like I said earlier, it still amazes me that with 9 days left, there are still people that haven't made up their mind.
It amazes me, too.
I know. But with those undecided voters, 60% of them are women. So what can we say to those women? What do you do? What can you say to these undecided voters, but particularly the women listening, in terms of helping them make a decision and make a decision towards Kerry Edwards?
Well, I think one of the most important things for women is certainly their jobs. My brother is a firm believer of pay equity. Women earn 76 cents on the dollar that men earn. And for some people, it's really difficult to buy groceries and pay the rent and pay health care and make ends meet when you have the same job as a person who's earning more than you, and that simply isn't fair. Another thing that relates to jobs is that my brother intends to raise the minimum wage to $7, which, of course, is important for men and women.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the issue of choice for a woman is really, really important. And I want to emphasize here, because I think that the right wing try to make people think that pro-choice is pro-abortion, and it absolutely isn't. Pro-choice means that a woman is allowed to choose to make that very, very difficult decision with her partner, her doctor, and her faith, and that it is not a government decision.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is so important. I think that there are some things that relate to a woman in this case, that I think that if a woman is given, has a decent opportunity for a job and for health insurance and for sex education, that hopefully she's not going to be in that horrible position of having to choose whether or not she brings a child to term. And my brother wants to provide decent health care and provide a good education system. No Child Left Behind is a good program. The problem is that the Bush administration hasn't funded it.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to fund that so that people, you don't find situations where teachers buy out of their own pockets supplies for their classes.
Mm-hmm.
And that is happening across this country. And that's just not right.
Well, I agree, Dan. The guest that I had on 2 weeks ago was Stuart Starkey, who's the Democratic nomination for the Senate running against John McCain this year. And basically, you know, a lot of people say, well, there's no way someone like that can win. John McCain has it in the bag. But he was so committed to at least making sure the democratic process was happening. But I asked him, I said, I have an opportunity here to ask a teacher about No Child Left Behind. And he said the same thing. You know, while it has good intentions, it has not necessarily funded properly, and the concept of the testing and the gauging of success is off base. And
well, you know, for Arizona schools, $114 million would have come to Arizona schools if the program had been funded properly.
Mm-hmm. And getting back to the healthcare issue, because one thing I don't hear anybody talking about, and correct me if I'm not seeing it clearly, is Bush keeps talking about these health savings accounts, health plan savings accounts, that would allow people to put money away so that when they needed it, you know, they wouldn't have to rely totally on health insurance and things like that. But the very people who don't have insurance now are the people who would not be able to afford to be saving any money, because most of those people are paying every penny they can just to keep their electricity on and feed their kids.
In fact, they're already facing very horrible decisions of whether they do pay for their health insurance or pay for food and so on. My brother met some people not long ago, and they had tears in their eyes, a couple, and they said, you know, we just keep on having to say no to our kids. We can't give them any kind of an added present. I mean, and you can't have people who are in those positions of just not being able to afford to give their kids a gift for a birthday or give their grandchildren a present.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want people to be in those very, very dire positions. That is just not the America that I think of.
So it does make sense then, if Bush gets to put these savings accounts into play, then the only ones that's really going to benefit are the people that can already afford health insurance to begin with, and it's still going to leave people needing medical assistance who won't have insurance and will still need to turn to Medicare or Medi-Cal and other programs like that.
I believe that's correct.
Now, again, getting back to the election being so near and so close, why do you think it's so tight at this point? Why do you think it's
well, you know, I'm in the political vein of my brother, where I just don't trust polls, and I am going from state to state and watching just such enthusiasm and such a different spirit that I've seen ever before. People who've never been involved in politics just rolling up their sleeves and getting involved and giving money to the Democratic Party. So I'd like to think that the polls aren't necessarily really reflecting what's going on in this country. But, you know, it's not over till the fat lady sings, and we're working hard to make sure that we get out every vote. And also, we have lawyers out there to ensure that every vote is counted.
Yeah. I was actually in Clearwater, Florida a couple of weekends ago for the concert for Kerry with the Dixie Chicks and James Taylor. I flew in.
Lucky you.
It was incredible. I mean, I was up at 7 in the morning to get to Ticketmaster to make sure I got tickets the day they went on sale. And I wore my Kerry Edwards T-shirt the whole weekend. And I had people coming up to me all the time acknowledging me for wearing it. I had one woman come up to me at a flea market I went to Sunday morning, and I mean, I felt like a celebrity there because people were stopping me everywhere to talk to me because I was wearing the shirt. But this one woman came up to me and she whispered to me, "I really support Kerry, but I'm afraid to put my lawn signs out because I'm afraid my neighbors are going to get upset and vandalize my house." And that was, I mean, she was very clear. And yet, driving around Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg, I was amazed at how many more Kerry Edwards lawn signs and bumper stickers I was seeing than Bush ones. So I left there feeling more encouraged than I went there when I first arrived there for the weekend.
Well, that's really exciting. And I have just spoken to a busload of people who've come here to Las Vegas to volunteer. They're from California. And I'm told there are 5 buses that are going to different sites today to help Nevada become a blue state.
Right. Well, actually, there are busloads coming from L.A. going to Phoenix also, that they've been doing that for the last month or so. And hopefully it's going to make a difference.
Well, that's really exciting. I'm from New York State, and we're a blue state, too, so we're sending people to Pennsylvania and New Hampshire. People want to help make a difference.
Well, actually, I'm born and raised in New York City myself, and I know you're up in Albany as a lobbyist for a while. I went to college in Binghamton for 4 years, my undergraduate. We're actually pretty close in the same generation. And a few weeks ago, in August, actually, I did a show called The Legacy of the Woodstock Generation, because that's me. I was at Woodstock. And
I was almost there.
And I talked about the essence, because I know when these musicians started planning these concerts for Kerry, a lot of Republicans were saying, "They're musicians, what are they doing in politics, blah, 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 blah." And that got me really angry, and I did this show about how going back to the Wandering Minstrels, they were politically oriented, and you know, Pete Seeger, Peter, Paul, and Mary, you know, musicians throughout history have been making political statements. And the Republican convention was filled with their celebrities and their musicians and stuff, but they're always looking for something to say, this is bad and this is wrong about the Democrats.
Well, I just think it's outrageous to criticize people who may be celebrities. I think anybody who's in a profession, no matter what it is, from being an actress or a singer to being, you know, in a union or whatever, allows you to participate in politics. That's what America is all about.
I agree. That's why I got so angry, and that's why I did that particular show. And it's also why I'm doing these 4 shows.
Well, I really am so grateful to you.
Well, you're quite welcome. I mean, I'm just hoping the results come out the way we all want it. Can we talk about college students for a minute? I'm assuming that in your campaigning, you've been visiting some campuses, too.
Actually, you know, I am part of a wonderful family who are all involved, and I would just like to say that I haven't been to college campuses because John has 2 fabulous daughters and 2 incredible
stepsons. Yes.
Chris and Andre and Vanessa and Alex have been out there, as well as Kate Edwards. So we have a wonderful team of people to go to college campuses.
Well, where I was going with that was the same thing I was bringing up before about how many more people have been registered in this election, both Republican, Independent, and Democrat. The numbers are staggering, actually, in terms of getting out the registrations, and the next step is getting out the vote. And it looks, again, like whether it's college students, I know the gay and lesbian, the Log Cabin Republicans, which is the gay and lesbian group, have not endorsed Bush this time. I've been reading how the Muslim community is not supporting Bush. Seniors, this 89-year-old friend of the family I was visiting part of the time in Clearwater begged me to send her a Carrie Edwards T-shirt because she wanted to wear it in her building that was so Republican. So everything I keep reading shows how a lot of these core groups seem to be out there and more activated. I mean, obviously, this is an election that seems to be meaning more and more to the whole country as well as the world.
I just have never seen such enthusiasm, and you're right. Voter registration has gone up. I think it's up in all of the blue states as well as all of the swing states. And now we just have to make sure that we get people to the polls. Of course, in New York, we can only vote on November 2nd.
Right.
I forget what the story is in Arizona. Can people vote now?
I'm not sure about Arizona either. I know that here in Los Angeles, there are some locations people can go and use these new touchscreen voting things, but they have a new system here. I vote in Los Angeles, where I live, and they have this new thing. Instead of the chads, it's like an ink dot that you make on them, so I'm curious to see what that looks like. But
well,
you're right.
Quite a lot of states are already voting.
Yeah.
Nevada's voting. Any number, what is some of these? Florida's voting now. There are quite a few states where they can go out and vote now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just encouraging everybody who can go vote now, vote early.
Well, what do you say to the seniors? I mean, this friend Eleanor, who's 89 years old, my mom, who's 82, and her boyfriend, who's 87. I asked them while I was down in Florida visiting with them for the concert, what about these prescription cards and things like that? And all three of them said, it's like meaningless. It does nothing for us. And they're really upset.
Well, John has said, and Bush has gone back on his promise. John has said that he will bring in drugs from Canada
that
are cheaper. And my brother speaks very firmly about the Social Security system. He's not going to privatize it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that seniors are motivated. I read a wonderful article a couple of days ago about seniors in Delray Beach. And they're out there motivated. There was one woman who was spending some of her savings that were savings for her grandchildren. She was spending them on the Democratic Party because she said, it's so important. This is the future for my grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm spending money not on them directly, but on the Democratic Party because they are the future for my grandchildren.
Right. And I know how the Bush people are constantly saying, you know, a vote for Kerry is the usual Democratic, liberal tax and spend. But nobody's really saying that all Bush is doing, as well as a lot of past Republican administrators, is borrow and spend. You know, obviously that's their attitude. You know, we need to do these things, so we'll just keep borrowing more and more money and raise the debt. And so their attitude is just, we'll borrow and spend and worry about it tomorrow, which to me is the way this whole country has been with credit cards and everything else. We'll have what we want today, we'll enjoy it and worry about it tomorrow, instead of taking a more fiscal responsible thing of let's find the money to pay for what we want today and do without the other things. And
absolutely.
So where does Kerry stand on the fiscal responsibility issue?
Well, we have a huge deficit, and it is absolutely outrageous for Republicans to say that Democrats are the large the liberals who spend, because the deficit has been created in the past 3.5 years by this administration.
Mm-hmm.
The Clinton administration left us with a surplus. And my brother wants us to go back to the economics of the Clinton administration, which is a pay-as-you-go system.
Right.
It's a system that any family lives under. You don't spend money you don't have. And we are in debt to China and so many other countries.
Mm-hmm.
They don't talk about where we're borrowing all this money from. And it's major countries like China that we are now deeply in debt to.
Mm-hmm.
So my brother hard to be able to have all the wonderful social programs that we would like to have immediately, because we're going to have to look to getting rid of the debt, because we do not want our children or our grandchildren to inherit the debt.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the same thing that again, if the government is, I agree on the one hand that the government should not be doing everything for our citizens, but it should be acting as a role model for our citizens. And in a country where credit cards and revolving debt and, you know, over mortgaging one's homes is being done already, the federal government is not acting as a really healthy role model in terms of fiscal responsibility and increasing debt and just doing whatever needs to be done and finding another way to borrow more money. Schwarzenegger is doing the same thing here in California. Everybody's singing his praises, you know, but he's doing the same thing. He's just finding more bonds. He's finding other ways of borrowing money to solve things in the short term, but we're going to have to deal with it in the long term.
Right. Pick up on your mentioning Governor Schwarzenegger. You know that he's disagreed with the Republican Party on stem cell research. He thinks it is so important,
mm-hmm,
that this country looks to having stem cell research, which my brother really believes in so firmly. And I think that I think there are a lot of Republicans who feel that stem cell research and other scientific research are important for the future of our healthcare system and the future of our country.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree too. I think there are a lot of Republicans, you know, including my image of John McCain. It was very hard to hear him speak at the Republican convention, knowing that he didn't agree with half the platform that the Republicans adopted, you know, in terms of social issues and other things like that. It's kind of hard to see people that you tend to respect, even as a Democrat towards a Republican, compromise so much of what they truly believe in, you know, for the sake of identifying with a particular party. And I think John McCain did that when he spoke at the convention the way he did.
Well, you know, I've run into so many Republicans who feel that the people in office presently do not represent the Republican Party that they care so much about,
mm-hmm,
namely the party of Teddy Roosevelt, and I can mention from New York the party of Jacob Javits,
right,
Nelson Rockefeller.
Mm-hmm.
Their party back and have it be a moderate party that can work together with Democrats on programs that will benefit all Americans.
Well, there's a term in August when they were going through President Reagan's funeral and stuff, I just got so upset with how they were deifying this man, and the title of my show that week was, you know, many are saying goodbye to Reagan, I'm saying good riddance. And, you know, it was the same sort of thing where he may have helped end the international Cold War, but I think he helped create a domestic Cold War that we're still in today. And I think that what you're even talking about with the number of Republicans that stay true to the Republican Party, even when they're not always comfortable with the level of fundamental conservatism that's being reflected there, but they feel too loyal to do anything about it. So what would you say to those Republicans in terms of this year's vote?
Well, I just hope that everybody, Republican, Independent, and Democrat, are looking at the issues of the economy and jobs and health care and women's issues and the environment, and that they are able to make a choice based on the such a stark difference between where my brother stands and where George Bush stands on each one of those issues.
For example, pick the environment, for example, if you can. I know that there's a great difference environmentally between Bush and your brother. Can you give us some examples of that?
Well, I think that on clean water and clean air, and all of the issues that the Republicans call clean air and clean water, when you really look at those acts, they don't matter. I think if you look at the people who are supporting my brother's Sierra Club, the League of Conservation Voters, and all of the environmental groups who care so much about a real clean water and real clean air and rivers where kids can fish and then eat the fish that they fish because they're not filled with mercury, you will find that all of these groups are supporting John Kerry.
Actually, I know that a lot of them are. In fact, in yesterday's paper, there was a article about how as many as 125 environmentalists, like major names and scientists in the environmental arena, are against Bush's proposals about healthy forests and things like that. Problems that we have faced today. It's very unlike it, the station to have this. I know that Peggy Carey had to get going because she had another meeting to go to, and I really want to thank her for squeezing us in, and I'm sorry we didn't get a chance to finish our conversation. But I think for those of you that are out there listening, there were some very clear points made today in terms of the differences between how you vote this election and the importance of your vote this election. And you can hear this show again or get other friends to listen to this show, that the show will be up on the archives within the next couple of days. So we were talking with Peggy Carey, the oldest sister of our presidential Democratic candidate, John Kerry. And we covered quite a number of issues, from, you know, women's issues to health care issues, and a lot of historical reasons for this election being what it is. And as we're nearing the end of today's show, I want to read a letter. It was actually a letter to the editor published in the LA Times yesterday, October 22nd. And again, my experience of what's going on from the Democratic, from the Republican end of things is, number one, you've heard the phrase Johnny One Note. Well, this is Georgie One Note. Everything is about, maybe two notes, everything is about fear, fear, and fear, and liberal being a dirty word. So this is a letter to the editor written by George Buzz Menzies from Carlsbad, California. And he writes, in relationship to an article that was written the day before, regarding making liberal a fighting word again from October 15th. In reading Janet Hook's article about Republicans using the term liberal to demonize Democrats, I am reminded of a few other of those liberal Democrats. Let's see. There was Woodrow Wilson, who won World War I. There was Franklin Roosevelt, who pulled us out of the Depression, created Social Security, and won World War II. There was Harry Truman, who helped win World War II and created the strategy of containment that led to winning the Cold War. There was Jack Kennedy, another one of those liberal war hero Republicans who never fought a day in their lives like to try to demonize. And there is Bill Clinton, who not only won wars in Bosnia and Kosovo, but created 20 million plus jobs and balanced the budget. Oh, those evil liberal Dems, all they do is win wars, fix economies, and build jobs. As compared with George W. Bush, who loses jobs, builds deficits, and has created a mess in Iraq, seems a fair comparison. Again, liberalism is not necessarily a dirty word any more than conservatism is. I think when you talk about extremes in anything or you use it to attack other people, then we end up getting back into that domestic Cold War that I keep talking about that we have going on in this country. A domestic Cold War is different from an international Cold War because in a domestic Cold War, we literally are fighting our own brothers and sisters. We are literally undermining a system, making sure that if our people aren't in power, we make sure that there's enough logjam going on in the seats of government so that nothing gets done until hopefully your people are voted in the next time. So Mr. Bush, who campaigned 4 years ago as a uniter, not a divider, has, as we keep saying, this country right now is in a state of such greater division that somebody wrote last week that no matter who wins this election, half of the population of this country is going to be upset. And the idea is if it's fair and square, if there's a sense of integrity about what's gone on, then that's what democracy is about. And I said in that article that you can find on my website, depression, election-related depression, that if Bush had won the last election without a doubt, with a clear majority, without the questioning and the manipulations that went on, begrudgingly I would have accepted him as president, and a lot of other people would also. You know, it's, you know, favorite candidates of mine have lost before, and it didn't send me or other people into a tailspin. But the issue is that we let the system work. That didn't happen 4 years ago. And there are a lot of people, as Peggy was beginning to say before we got cut off, that there are a lot of attorneys and a lot of other people watching the polls and the polling places to make sure that people are not disenfranchised in this election like what happened in Florida in the last election and in other states. So just like we send Jimmy Carter and other people to other countries to monitor elections this year, Republicans and Democrats are monitoring these elections to make sure that nothing screwy goes on and that people who want to vote get to vote and people who are registered to vote are allowed to vote. Now you just need to get out and do the voting. It's your responsibility. That's what democracy is about. We live in a democratic republic. That means we elect people to represent us, to make decisions. And it's up to us to make sure that it's not just about president. It's about representatives in Congress and senators. It's about local politicians that we really look at and make sure that when we're voting for the right reasons, not just because it's a particular party. And that goes for Democrats as well as Republicans. So with that being said, and with all these things, I'm sorry if those of you who tuned in to hear more of Peggy Carey are a little frustrated because of the technical problems we face today. I'm hoping that the recording came through and that you'll be able to listen again or get your friends to listen on TellTheTruthFaster.com. If you have comments you want to make, critical of my shows or this show or in support of it, I'd love to hear from you, and you can contact me at www.TellTheTruthFaster.com. I have one more show before the election. And I'm not sure who the guests will be yet, but Sue Wolitski's come through very well for me so far. And so, You know, listen in next week. Let your friends know about it. If you're still sitting on the fence, listen in again. See who I have next week. Listen to the archives of the last 2 weeks' shows if you haven't heard them. And, you know, let your conscience be your guide, not fear. There's a difference between listening to the fear inside you and listening to your conscience. Listen to the higher angel in you. Listen to the voice inside of you that knows what direction this country is going in and knows that this needs to be a country that respects everyone and supports everyone. And in my opinion, that's not what the Republicans are about. That's not what Bush is about, no matter what he says, no matter what Cheney says, that they're divisive. And let's try and pull this together and work with some compassionate people. And to me, that means putting Terry and Edwards in Washington. So thank you for listening. This is Stuart Altschul and KXAM, 1310 a.m. in Phoenix, Arizona. It's been a pleasure. And again, I thank tremendously Peggy Terry for being on the show and taking time. And I wish my friend Kathy Williams a very happy birthday today.